Alyssa, appreciate your leadership with the music tonight. All right, we will be back in the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs, and we'll be in several different passages, and we'll be looking at this topic of the fool. And we are not, according to the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount, we are not to call somebody a fool in the sense of a degrading, mocking kind of way. There is a way in which we can misuse the word fool and degrade somebody and mock somebody in a way that would be inappropriate. But obviously, the Scripture uses the word fool. And I think we would all say at some point in our lives that we have acted foolish. Or maybe we, at some point in our lives, would have to admit that we were a fool. And by the grace of God, he saved us out of our foolishness. But yet there are times still where we find ourselves acting characteristic of a fool. And we'll look at some of these characteristics, and we'll have three different types of fools that we'll look at. And we'll also deal eventually with other characters in the book of Proverbs, such as the sluggard and also the scorner. But tonight we're going to look as best we can in the time that we have in a general way at fools, and then we'll get into some more specifics. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, a verse that we have used as a springboard several times already. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've talked about wisdom. We've talked a little bit about instruction, often synonymous words, but there's a little bit of nuance of meaning. Instruction, we looked at last week in dealing with the aspect of teaching and wisdom, of course, knowledge of God practically applied. And we'll see that the fool is despising wisdom and instruction. A characteristic of a fool is having the right knowledge, having the facts, having the know-how, and despising it, rejecting it, turning from it. Literally, eight times the word despise is used in the book of Proverbs. And we see here in verse 7 of Proverbs 1, what is it the fool despises? What does the fool hold in contempt? It's wisdom and instruction. To hold it in contempt, to despise it. Now, we might think of the Joker and the court jester from back in medieval times. And he was considered a foolish person. He was a mocker. And there was a reason that in the medieval days that there was such a character. And we now put it on a card. I don't know how to play poker. I don't even know if this is a poker card. I don't know. I don't know how to play card games other than maybe Uno and Skibbo and what's that one? Apples and oranges or whatever it's called, all right? So I'm not much of a card game person, but now we put the Joker on the card, and it means whatever. But we laugh at the Joker, the jester, the courtroom clown, so to speak, and we put it on a card, and it's kind of silly, kind of nonsensical, but we look at the Scriptures and in the book of Proverbs, and God's not laughing at the silliness and the foolishness of the fool. God has some very strong words for fools. And whenever we are holding the truth of God, the knowledge of God, in contempt, we are behaving foolishly. So let's look at the fool in some specific ways. Three different words used in the book of Proverbs for the fool. Three different words, and we can get into the Hebrew if we really wanted to. We'll talk about the Kesile fool, the Evile fool, a little bit, and we'll get into some of those specifics. But all three different words are going to have a connotation of stubbornness. And as you look up the word, as I was looking up in my study in preparation, the words in the Hebrew language for the evil fool and the kisile fool, they both put in there the word stupid. And one of them also referred to the fool as an idiot. Okay, so those are some strong words. And we're not talking necessarily just about a mental state or somebody going out and creating a 15-second YouTube video where they're vandalizing a grocery store and then it goes viral. That's stupid, okay? And that's foolish. But it's more than just behaving in an immature way, doing something stupid. It is literally going to deal with a stubbornness and a moral stupidity. This is something that we have to recognize, and I think we'll see it more and more as we study the book of Proverbs and we look at the life of a fool. We'll see that their stupidity is less about intellect, less about intelligence, and has more to do with moral choices and contempt of knowledge and instruction. Having this stubbornness about learning and about growing and about making good choices with the knowledge at hand. So Proverbs 13 and verse 19, we'll see here. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So the desire accomplished, a task at hand, a goal to be reached. But it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. There it is. They know and they have even seen the desire accomplished. They've seen the fruit of making good choices. But this word here, this fool, speaks to a stubbornness about departing from evil. It's an abomination to them. They hate it. They enjoy sin. They have contempt for the truth and for knowledge and for rights, and they consider right, good choices to be an abomination. Are we not there in our culture? Are we not to that point where we have fools, even in places of power and authority in our country? They consider it an abomination to depart from evil. That's an Isaiah 5 mentality, where right is wrong and wrong is right. This is some serious stuff here. This is characteristic of fools. And then Proverbs 26 and verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I just think it's fascinating sometimes how in the book of Proverbs, the imagery that God gives us through Solomon. I don't know about you, but there's nothing appetizing about puke. It's disgusting. And if you've ever been around animals who go back and they eat their vomit, or worse, okay, or something like that, it is repulsive. I remember having a cat growing up. There was a cat that we took care of, an outdoor cat. My sister had cats. I don't really have pets per se. I don't hate cats. I don't mind cats too much. I don't know if I like dogs better than cats. I guess I'm kind of neutral. But we had an outdoor cat growing up, and it had, I don't remember how many different litters of kittens. It would find a place in our front yard. We fed it. We felt sorry for it, and we fed it. And next thing you know, it started coming around, and then boom. One day, we're looking at like 7 kittens, and the cat just kept coming back. Well, the cat would get sick. And you know how the story goes. I'm not going to gross everybody out here, but the cat would get sick, have a hairball, and then what would it do? And you've seen it with dogs as well. And they go back, and you're just like, what are you doing? But that's what the fool does. The fool goes back to his own sin that he knows is bad for him. He knows it's going to cost him, and he keeps going back even though he knows it's wrong. And there's a foolishness to our sin nature that even after we get saved, we find ourselves in this same vicious cycle, if we're not careful, of going back to the same sins and repeating them. And the imagery is disgusting, and that's the way we should see it. If we keep returning to the same sins, should we not be disgusted just like we are when a dog or a cat goes back to eating what it just puked up? We should have the same kind of disgust for our sin that offends a holy God, as repulsed as we are by an animal returning to its vomit. But the most common word for a fool focuses on a person's outlook for life, their outlook, their desires, their goals. And we've met people like this. And I've dealt with students who are sophomores, juniors, or even seniors in high school. And I remember a roommate in college who had a very foolish outlook on life. He ended up getting kicked out. And it was like his whole outlook on life was mischievousness, being mischievous, stirring up trouble, causing problems. And there are people like this. You've been around these people. They're just constantly stirring up trouble everywhere they go. There's always something going on, and you can almost always go back to the source of the problem, and they're somewhere in or around or the cause. And I've dealt with students, and I've sat them in my office, and I have said, I understand that you are not the one who started this, but how come every time there is trouble, you are somehow involved in some way? You rarely are the one who starts it, who instigates it, but you're standing there, or you're watching, or you're participating. And I've told kids this many a time. You'll almost be like the audience out there clapping for the fools who are doing something wrong. You are too scared to go and to do it. And good for you. You're not going to be the one to start it, or maybe in some cases not participate. But in many cases, they are participating just from a distance. Or they're not willing to stand up or to speak up and say, stop, let's quit doing this. And it's like they're the audience in the background or in the crowd clapping and encouraging the ones who are the leaders in the foolishness. But aren't they indirectly foolish as well? They're participating in an audience kind of way. They're even participating indirectly. They're being foolish. They're not thinking ahead of the consequences and looking at the big picture, and they're not realizing the pattern. But we've got those people around us sometimes, and hopefully it's not true of us, where we've got this stubborn determination that we're going to do what we want to do. And it's all going to work out for me. Just leave me alone. And when a person gets into that rut, when they get into that stubborn rut in their life where they're just constantly, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. Get off of my back. If that's their general state of mind, they're fools. They're being foolish. Again, this doesn't have a lot to do with a person's IQ or their education, because we know people with high IQs and lots of education that are fools. Their moral outlook, their moral view of life is totally distorted by sin and wickedness. Now, we also see in one of the terms, there's another connotation, there's another angle to this fool's life, and that is one of flippancy and impatience. The idea of, who cares? Big deal. What's it matter anyway? And aren't we getting more and more of that in our society? What's it matter anyway? God didn't strike me dead with a bolt of lightning right there when I did that, so God doesn't really care. Really? And we know that God is merciful and God is gracious, but to have that kind of flippant attitude about sin That's a dangerous place to be. Proverbs 18 in verse 13. We're not going to be able to look at every verse tonight, but these really help us understand the thinking of a fool when we look at some of these verses. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I don't know how many times God has brought that to my mind when I'm about ready to open up my big mouth. And there are still times I behave foolishly, I speak foolishly, because I would have been better off just zipping it. But what's one of the characteristics of a foolish person? They don't know when to shut up. They don't know when to keep their mouth quiet. They're constantly inserting something that's inappropriate, or it's not kind, or it's just annoying or aggravating. They're that person that you just want to, would you stop, right? That's foolishness. Proverbs 29 and verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. I have felt like there are some students, I could have put this verse on their back and put it on I could have made a t-shirt with this verse on it. Because they would give me no rest. They are just constantly, it seems like whether they're raging in their behaving in anger and frustration, or whether they are in laughter and just goofing off and thinking everything's fun and games, it's like they just take this pleasure in being foolish, in this constant contention. And I know how wearisome for me it has been dealing with students like that. But there are some parents who have a child who may be that way. And you're praying for your child to quit contending in a foolish way with their raging and their laughing. And start taking life seriously and quit this foolishness. And there's a real... seriousness to this connotation, because a fool is so flippant and impatient that they're making poor moral choices and they're just acting like, what's the big deal? If it bothered you, oh well, I don't care. There's a real attitude of I don't care about you. Isn't that a dangerous place to be? And we are so inundated with that in our culture right now. It's me, and it's I, and it's what I want to do. And now I've heard, I was just listening to a Christian podcast this week, and there's these people who are minimalists, and you've heard of minimalists, where they live with hardly any possessions, maybe a small house or a tiny house, or a studio-type apartment with barely any furniture. Well, they've taken it to another level, and now they're minimalists when it comes to relationships. And so they are trying to remove every toxic person from their life, as if they are never toxic, as if they're not the ones who ever have any toxicity, or however you say that word. And there's this movement that I have to minimalize my life down to only a few select people who make me happy. And if they make me unhappy, then they get removed as well. That's this foolish mentality. Constantly contending, you're annoying, I don't care about you. If you don't benefit me and make me happy, get out of my life. That's this kind of flippant attitude. And then there's a third idea. Or a third, I should say, connotation or nuance of meaning here among these three words for fools. And that is boorishness or rudeness. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Now, we are in a culture today, as we have seen foolishness become elevated and celebrated, and I think the internet has just made this 10 times worse, because foolishness is Sometimes on a TikTok video, on Snapchat, on an Instagram reel, it just seems like if you can get it out there, no matter how ridiculous it is, no matter how rude it is, if you can get it out there and you get some likes and some follows, then that somehow makes it okay. And it's like the morality of and the kindness or whatever you want to call it, it's not considered anymore. It's just, I want to put that out there and I want to get likes, I want to get follows, I want people to notice me. And this is foolish behavior if it's not kept in check. It's not that we can't make a video and put it online. But we know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the videos that are inappropriate, that are vandal. What's the TikTok just recently? Did you hear about the Devious Licks? Devious Licks is a TikTok trend where it's actually you vandalize restrooms. So you go into, for instance, Speedway Parks and Recreation. They had to close their bathrooms. Our boys have played baseball there. We've been in and out of those facilities there. They had to close all the public restrooms, or literally they had to tie down the toilet tanks and tie down the toilet seats, because this Devious Licks TikTok video had started this trend now where people are going in, they're destroying bathrooms just for the fun of it, taking videos of it and posting it online on TikTok. That's foolishness. That's this rudeness. Just vandalizing private property for the fun of it, for the thrill of it, to put on a video and get total complete strangers and maybe a handful of your friends to see it, to like it, to follow it. It's rude. And some of these guys are sitting here and they know how angry I got last year, because somebody kept breaking the stall door in the boys' bathroom in the locker hallway. And some of these guys, they were there because I went in the room and I was not happy. Happened 4 times in about a 6-week period. Somebody was lowering their shoulder, or they were somehow pulling the stall door and the stall beam apart so they could get the stall door to go inside, so you couldn't secure it, you couldn't lock it, because now it's the stall door is turning inside instead of to the outside. And they know how frustrated I got, because I walked into their classroom one time and I was probably red in the face, and I said, I'm done, I'm tired of this. But I don't know, and they're sitting here and they're squirming in their seat. No, just kidding. To this day, I don't know who did it. I have my suspicions. But rudeness, just rude, knowing that it was very disruptive when the custodian has to come in and has to take vice grips and pliers and whatever else, or 2 people have to go in there and hold that so that they can get the door back in place. That kind of behavior is foolishness. It is boorishness, rude behavior. And that is exalted now in our culture. And it irritates me. I don't ever want my kids to be known for being rude and being vandals and being foolish and doing stupid things just to aggravate people, just to annoy people. And that's in our culture, and it permeates our culture now. But that's foolish behavior. So we see some characteristics of fools. And there's 7 of them here. We don't have time to look at all these verses. We've talked about stubbornness. The impatience is there, Proverbs 18, in verse 13. We talked about the fool who answers a matter before he heareth it. It is folly and shame unto him, speaking out of turn, not waiting and thinking before I speak. That impatience there. We also see it in Proverbs 29 and verse 9, the flippancy, the I don't care, big deal, not going to matter to me, I don't care if it bothers somebody else, oh well, too bad, so what. And there's even this mentality for some that even goes so far as to say, well, who cares if I go to hell? I'm just going to go down there and party with my friends. We're going to drink a bunch of beer and have a party for the rest of eternity. And they make light of hell. They look at eternity with a flippant kind of attitude. That's this kind of foolish thinking. And we talked about boorishness and then insolence. Proverbs 11 and verse number 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. So an insolent person is mocking, making fun of, despising their neighbor, takes joy and delight in somebody being mocked and ridiculed. And I remember in high school, there was a particular kid who had some social glitches, had some social oddities. And I remember one day the boys at the lunch table, they stole his lunchbox. And they knew he was going to flip out. And it was awful. This kid had some real social issues. And they stole his lunchbox and they hid it from him. And he literally, in junior high, is at the lunch table and he is crying. He is having a total meltdown. We're talking about a 13, 14-year-old kid. And he's having a total meltdown at lunch. And there's all these high school kids just mocking him, laughing at him as he's having this total meltdown. And that's insolence. Taking delight in someone's misfortune. And actually, they were deliberate because there was someone who had the lunchbox. And I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but I got so tired of it, I went over and I grabbed the lunchbox and I gave it back to him. And then their insolence turned on me, all right? But I was done. I was so done with them mocking him. And he's there as a 13, 14-year-old kid, and he's in tears. And they're just laughing at him. And I had enough. And I went and I grabbed his lunchbox and I handed it back to him. And they looked at me like, "What are you doing? We're just having fun. I was like, "Don't you see what you're doing to this poor kid?" But that's what we're doing in our society now. We're out of control. The cancel culture is this. And we know the cancel culture has some other aspects to it besides just fun and games and making fun of somebody. And we know the cancel culture has an agenda behind it in trying to stamp out the truth. And that's a level of insolence that's even more dangerous when the cancel culture is literally trying to remove truth and biblical reality from our world. That's a level of insolence that goes even to levels of judgment, of God's judgment for that sin. Not that this doesn't deserve judgment, but that's another level of God's judgment. We're trying to stamp out the truth. Proverbs 19 and verse 3 speaks to this foolishness being a form of fretting. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. What happens to a fool who is storming, raging? Their life becomes one of, they begin to live in a fearfulness of God's coming judgment. There's a conscience that God has put. There's the spirit of man. There's the eternity that God has put in man. And I refer to the conscience. And Romans talks about the conscience and how we're all without excuse. So at some point, and I think I've referenced before in another message about these serial killers in this FBI profiler's book that I read, he mentioned with these serial killers that they get to a point even where they know what they're doing is out of control. They've made choices already. And he describes the fact that they have made choices. But they're so out of control that now they are fretting. And if you look at true crime, you look at some of these forensics and investigations, what happens with these serial killers and these serial rapists and such? They begin to get sloppy. They begin to make mistakes. And that's one of the things that these investigators find is the mistakes that they're making, and eventually it leads to their arrest or whatever. But it speaks to the truth of the Bible of this fretting, this storming, this raging, because that's not the way God ordered our lives to be lived. So there is a fear, there is a fretfulness, there's a storming, there's a raging to a person's life when they get so out of sorts with God. And I know that's an extreme example, serial killers, serial rapists. But the King Saul is an example in the Old Testament of a man who wasn't to that extreme, but wasn't King Saul, wasn't he fretting? He was storming, he was raging. And what? Who did he turn against? He turned against David. And he's throwing a javelin at God's ordained king who is to replace him. Here's a man who is living for God, who's serving the Lord, who's a good man. And Saul's trying to take him out. And instead of worrying about the Philistines, he's got an army chasing David. That's what foolishness does. It totally mixes up our values. It mixes up our thinking. And there becomes a fearfulness of life and a fretting of life. And I'm not here to say that there isn't true mental illness. There is. There is true legitimate mental illness with biological needs. And there's medical needs there. But a lot of times, what's described by the world, the unsaved world, as mental illness has a lot to do with guilt over sin. Unforgiven, unrepentant sin. It can manifest itself in a form of mental illness. And I'm not saying we can't have some labels of mental illness, but I think we need to look very carefully at some of the sin causes. And as we get more and more of this pot and marijuana in our culture, it's destroying our young people, and this vaping and the stuff they put in it. And you add biological distorting of the human brain along with sinful activity and poor moral choices. No wonder we have a culture that is fretting. No wonder we have a mental health crisis. I know COVID and all the negative news contributes to that. The lack of scriptural knowledge and the peace that comes from God's word and relationship with him. But you think about the compounding factors that are creating the mental health crisis. And a lot of it goes right back to this right here. Right back to what God describes in the book of Proverbs, even in chapter 19 and verse 3. Where the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. One more thing here. How did God design us? God designed us to have a right relationship with him. Sin marred that. So man is seeking for satisfaction. Man is seeking for a right relationship with God. That's why throughout civilization, throughout cultures, from history past, they have had a religious system. There's been temples and ziggurats and some religious structure to every civilization in society, even the ancient ones that we're now digging up from archaeological digs. They all had some form of religion. Where did that come from? It came from the fact that God put eternity in the heart of man. So when that relationship with God is not right, and it doesn't get right, and then you compound biological factors, sin choices, on and on it goes. That fretting against the Lord, again, it manifests itself, I believe, in a lot of ways in forms of mental illness. And it doesn't mean that there isn't legitimate mental illness with biological needs and medical needs that have to be addressed in a medical way. Of course there are. But I think that a lot of times we need to look at some of the spiritual causes that are the result that result in this kind of fretting. And then arrogance is a common characteristic of the fool. Now, we just have a few minutes left, so we'll only have a few minutes to look at the simple. And we'll come back maybe to this and do a quick review next week and then move on to the next character. But what about the simple? Okay, we hear a lot about the simple in the book of Proverbs. We read about the simple. And what do we think of when we think of the simple? We think sometimes, it's a person that just is not educated. They need more education. And we hear that a lot in our culture today. We hear that from the higher ups. We just need more education. Now, I think a good education is important. And I think the right kind of education is important. Education founded on principles of the Word of God. And there's at least an acknowledgement that God is the God of creation and order. And we realize that the education's got its issues, of course. But being simple is not just a lack of education or poor education. Again, being simple doesn't mean necessarily low IQ. Someone who just is ignorant. The simple in the book of Proverbs has several characteristics. And not that every simple person has all of these at one time, but manifests a lot of these. These are characteristic of the simple person. Chapter 1 in verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay, so we have among the simple, we have the lack of discernment for when there is an enticement to sin. We also see the aggressive side of that simpleness by this desire to deceive or to seduce. Okay, so we have, with the simple, we have the lack of discernment to recognize a temptation, to recognize a deception. Okay? In just maybe common modern ways in which we experience this. Do you ever get a telemarketer call? Do you ever get a spam call? Do you ever get one of those spam emails? One of the ones that's just really silly is, congratulations, you have just won a $100 gift card to Sam's Club. I got a spam email the other day. Congratulations, you may be the winner of $100. Just fill out this survey. Okay, there's all this spam, these telemarketer calls, and you ever had those ones where they get the recording on there, and it'll say something like, you are wanted by the FBI. Please call us with your social security number right away, or you will be arrested. You know, something like that. They try to sound real mean and real serious. And you would say, only someone who is stupid would actually answer, you know, call that number or pick up that call and give their social security. But there are people who do that, right? And again, no offense to the elderly, but many times these scams, they take advantage of the elderly. The lonely widow sitting in her house, tired, bored, lonely, and they catch her. Okay, is that a form of being simple? Yes, in a way. But that's not really what we're after here. That is a form of being simple-minded. Okay, but that's not the true picture of what Solomon wants us to grasp about this person, the simple one. This person is deceived, seduced fairly easily. And sometimes they are the ones doing the deceiving and the seducing. Okay? Now, what about their mental states? Easily led, gullible, even the word silly comes to mind. They fall, okay, again, using the telemarketer example, they would be someone who would fall for that. Now, in a sense, again, that's simple-minded. How can you be so gullible? And we joke around, there are some people who have a little bit more maybe serious nature, and they can't get a joke. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Or they fall for the simplest little persuasive technique. They just fall for it. They're so gullible. Okay? They're silly-minded. Again, there's some aspect to that, but the moral aspects of the simple-mindedness is really what Proverbs is after, what God is after. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Okay, there's a practical aspect to making good choices and not getting fooled by a telemarketer, some spam email, some get-rich-quick scheme. Okay, there's definitely some practical wisdom to that. But it's the moral choices that God is really trying to get us to understand about the simple. And to help us not be simple-minded. Moral choices, morality, It is a real issue in our culture today. Because who is heralded as the individuals who have they have the knowledge, they have the experience, they have the know-how, they know how to get through life? It's oftentimes, if you really watch the advertisements and the culture and the way they advertise people, it's the really smart people that live these immoral lives. See, you're behind the times. If you don't catch up with all this gender changing stuff, if you don't catch up with all the liberation of morals, haven't we seen this with the Texas abortion law? They come right out and they say some blatantly offensive things about people who are pro-life, as if pro-life people are stupid. What God is saying is the simple ones, the simple-minded ones, don't have enough moral sense to make good moral choices. It's not about IQ and education and intellect. God really wants us to avoid being a simple-minded person in the moral sense of the word. You just watch the news. You just watch some of these headlines and the way they portray Christians and pro-life people and people who believe that there is male and there is female and they can't become each other, and that marriage should be between one man and one woman for life, and people who believe in creation and deny evolution. Dan gave us a quote. This was it, Richard Dawkins talked about us being stupid, and I forget all the words that he used. What Richard Dawkins has how many PhDs, but I would put him in the category of being a simple-minded person. Foolish in this sense. Now, worldly speaking, that man's brilliant. And in a sense, he does have brilliance and intelligence and education. But he's holding the truth in contempt. He's despising the truth. So that makes him foolish. That's the simple-mindedness, the moral simple-mindedness that God wants us to avoid, that God wants us to get out of. Now, that's as far as we're going to get tonight. There's so much more to be said about the simple, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the fools that are mentioned in the Word of God. But we'll stop there, and I hope that this is of help to us and a blessing to us. Thanks for being faithful to God's house. Jake's going to come and lead us in a closing song, and then we'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed tonight.
If y'all would please stand, we're going to sing the first verse of number 65.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner waves on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
If I can say a word, thank you, Pam, for helping coordinate with the music. It's great to see more people. And I think in the coming days and weeks, we'll see more people involved in the music ministry. And we're thankful for the talent that God has blessed us with here. Appreciate Pam's coordinating. Thank you, Jake and Alyssa, tonight for your music ministry. We'll close in a word of prayer. Can I ask Steve Kessler back there? I know he's busy with the camera, but Steve, can I ask you to dismiss us in a word of prayer?
All right. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word tonight. We just ask you to continue to pour it in our hearts. Give us your wisdom. Continue to give us the strength we need to follow your word. We just thank you that you provide everything that we need. It's all in your word.
Amen. All right. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday night.